This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
And there's only one thing that I'm afraid of, and that's the people in elected office taking away my rights. I'm not afraid of the crook that's going to come to my door, because if my dogs don't get him, I will. And it's my job to defend myself. It's not your job to protect me. It's not your job to defend me. It's your job to protect the Constitution and protect my rights to defend myself.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
These government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have this far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are you that exceptional American? Of course you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show and Red State Talk Radio, the talk monster of all digital talk radio. And if not the nation, the world, no question about it. We really do appreciate all those people that are listening right now to Agenda 21 Radio on your devices and everywhere else that you can get it out of Red State Talk Radio. We emanate from Washington, D.C. Yep, I'm on the left coast, you're on the right coast. Well, it just depends on how you look at it, right? Anyway, so out here it happens to be, well, let's see, it's 11:08 your time out there in the East Coast. And we're going to be talking about a lot of things here in a second with Scott Adams of the Scott Adams Show. Just want to kind of give you a quick little primer. It looks like the resistance to Gavin Newsom out here is building. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think it's going to see a public overthrow of Gavin Newsom, which is going to be kind of an interesting thing because Gavin Newsom has a lot of problems right now. And one of the things I want to put out here, a couple of big things that are really important to understand. We talk about the financial health of California. Currently, right now, no one will lend California long-term money. None of the agencies out there, these financial institutions, will loan to California long-term money. So in other words, they cannot finance their bonds that, you know, usually go 30, 60 years out sometimes. They're no longer able to do that, which begs the question about the March primary election. And we said at the time the March primary election was nothing more than a money grab because, you know, certainly they can rig the system. They can rig the election system in California so that the bonds would pass. And they had up about a total of about $54 billion worth of bonds that they were floating, all with all of them hidden, of course. And of course, that would rely upon long-term money to fulfill those bond obligations, right? Well, shockingly, the money got shut off to California. Can you believe that? I wonder if Donald Trump was involved. I'm just saying. So that long-term money was shut off, and it suddenly, just days before the election, they find that out. And shockingly, as it turns out, the voters, for the first time in history, voted down those bonds. You know, school construction bonds and things like that. Something the voters of California have always passed. I wonder if the lack of agencies being able to fund those bonds had anything to do with the... Of course, none of us voters knew that at the time. We were all surprised to see, wow, they must be trying to run a straight election. Or was it really the election was rigged and re-rigged because they found out no one was going to provide the money for those bonds? The door was slammed shut. Anyway, just a few things going on out here in California. Of course, a lot of counties now are starting to go to the governor and say, we're not going to follow your orders. That's just a minor problem for him right now. Anyway, with us right now is Scott Adams of the Scott Adams Show. And Scott, there's just a lot of things going on. For us, it's in the news business. It's just thriving. A lot of stress and strain, though, on the country.
Let's not forget about those sanctuary cities. Remember, legal battle that enabled him to not fund states that are in violation of the sanctuary cities. Mm-hmm. He funds cities that are in violation of the sanctuary order. So basically, you know, the argument was, if you're going to do sanctuary cities, we're not going to help you. We're not going to give you the money associated with law enforcement and a lot of other things if you're not going to cooperate. And I think that gets to a broader thing, too, that you could defund states that aren't in compliance with your order. And there was a Supreme Court case that sided on behalf of the Trump administration on that. So when states are coming back up, a lot of the liberal states are saying, no, we're going to try to hurt Trump's economy. All the Republican states, you know, pretty much are coming back up. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that works out, because Trump can hold that over their head too and say, look, you know, we're not going to finance you. We can't give you any money to come back up. We can't do that unless you get rid of your sanctuary cities and sanctuary states. So it'll be interesting to see if he uses that strong arm muscle card.
Well, there's another one that's a part of the strong arm muscle card, and that is half $1 billion in money that's available for the COVID virus bailout for cities and municipalities. And now we find out that the Trump people are demanding a high credit rating for these cities and municipalities, and those that have less than, I think, a B+ rating won't be able to even apply if they have bad credit. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, that is interesting.
Closing the noose around local governments is what's happening. Anyway, so what's going on in your world? We got a lot of things with the coronavirus, everything going crazy on the East Coast, everything going crazy on the West Coast, and I guess nothing's happening in between, right? Flyover country, which, of course, that's not true. A lot of things are happening there, but what's happening?
I actually think that the biggest storyline that's coming out is, you know, the thing that Tom Cotton was kind of itching on over the weekend with Maria Bartiromo. And it's just so obvious to me that this was a malintent. Some say malintent, you know, whatever it is. I forget his whole name, Mal, Chow, whatever. But yeah. The idea here is that China is the supreme benefactor of this. But if you listen to the press conference yesterday, you know, I think that what's going to happen is they were talking about Germany, you know, suing the heck out of China, right?
Right.
And it's like, great. And there's going to be other countries that are going to file lawsuits. There's going to be individuals filing lawsuits. Frankly, I think that individuals and class action suits ought to be brought against Ali Matcock from the IHME with his fake models. and Debbie Birx saying, you know, that this is the new normal. And of course, Anthony Fauci, the worst of the worst, Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, and Redfield. I think all of these losers running the show over at CDC, Redfield, NIH, you know, with Fauci, and, you know, even Birx at PEPFAR and being an ambassador and using these funds as slush funds to help out Marie Yovanovitch in Ukraine. All these things need to be investigated, as does, you know, the whole Chinese thing, you know, because Fauci gave $3.7 million. I understand. I heard that maybe Fauci's been indicted. So yeah. What Trump has done successfully is this. When Trump has lost, Trump lost his middle right. He lost his center. His center conservative media. Once he lost that Fox News, who just fired Diamond and Silk, by the way.
Oh, they did? Yeah. That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, because they were questioning the inflated numbers. And I have proof, positive, that Republican states' numbers are way lower than Democrat states. So the Democrats are exploiting this for political purposes and also financial purposes. They get paid for every COVID patient, and particularly if that COVID patient's on a ventilator.
That's correct.
And so, you know, there's a lot of fraud, waste, and abuse on the Democrat side. You have several congresswomen related to the squad that were talking about how to exploit stimulus aid to try to get their agenda. You got Clyburn doing the same thing. He's now spearheading the investigation on Trump's handling of this matter of the COVID. And he said, this is an opportunity to fulfill our agendas. And you got Adam Schiff looking at Dr. Bright over at NIH, who's probably going to be the whistleblower who hired an attorney named Deborah Katz. Deborah Katz is on video resisting against Sessions, number one. And she's on video saying we are resisting. She was also the attorney that represented Blasey Ford.
Okay. Shocking.
Now, we have this other thing that's really, I think, damaging and damning. And that is that Daniel Jones started two companies that invested in Christopher Steele's company and Fusion GPS, Bean LLC. It was a shell company that was controlling Fusion GPS out of Austin, Texas. Well, the day before Daniel Jones, who's featured in the new movie called The Report. I don't know if you're familiar with that new movie. It's on Amazon. It's called The Report, and it was related to CIA waterboarding and things like that. Well, he was Dianne Feinstein's staffer, Daniel J. Jones.
Oh, really? Are you there?
Are we up against a break?
No, you're fine. Keep going.
Okay, so Daniel J. Jones, he was a staff member for Dianne Feinstein. He was instrumental in the hit job against Kavanaugh. And Deborah Katz was the resist attorney that was on video saying she's part of the resist movement. And she represented Blasey Ford, the liar. We'll just call her the liar, the Blasey Ford. And then, you know, also there was the doxing. There was that Costco guy. Well, Daniel Jones was part of all of that. But then in addition to that, what happened was Daniel Jones also was the financier of Christopher Steele and Fusion GPS. But it was when, do you remember when Mark Zaid came out with that tweet? Basically, he said, coup has, this is January 30th,
right.
10 days after Trump's inauguration. What damage could Trump have done in that 10 days, right? The coup, Mark Zaid, he was the attorney for the whistleblower, Eric Ciaramella. But Eric Ciaramella was these things were financed and colluded with Daniel Jones and Dianne Feinstein. So Mark Zaid on January 30th, 2017 said, coup has started, first of many steps. Rebellion, impeachment will follow ultimately. Lawyers will be involved. And who were the lawyers? The lawyers were Blasey Ford's lawyer, who's now Dr. Bright's lawyer for the COVID case, Deborah Jones is the lawyer for Dr. Bright, who is a disgruntled guy who wrote a complaint letter, and he's working with Adam Schiff. So Deborah Katz and this guy Bright are working together on a new hit job after COVID starts to fade out. They're going to then use Clyburn and Adam Schiff to attack Trump, using Deborah Katz again, the attorney for Blasey Ford, to use Bright to attack Trump. And Bright works directly under Fauci at NIH. So it's all connected right here. Then Fauci was the one that financed the 3.7 million study. There was the 201 event in October. There was the first case in China in November. And so you have these attorneys. Now, that date is January 30th, 2017, that Mark Zaid said that. Again, the whistleblower attorney for the Ukraine case, the impeachment case. The day after that, one day after, Daniel Jones, Dianne Feinstein's staffer, sets up two firms, ADI and TDIP, established January 31st, 2017, one day after Mark Zaid's tweet below, paid $750,000 to Steele's firm, Welsingham Partners, and paid $2.1 million to Bean LLC, a shell company that controls Fusion GPS. Deborah Katz, who represented Blasey Ford, now represents NIH Dr. Bright. So that was my tweet. And here's just, so then you got video of Deborah Katz saying she's part of the resist. So why I bring all this up is the same players that are involved with this smear campaign of Donald Trump were involved in Ukraine. The exact same people were involved in Ukraine, Kavanaugh, and the Russian hoax. And what's happening now with the Flynn exoneration that's going to happen this week, we're learning more and more about, you know, all these different attorneys like Sussman and Mark Elias from Perkins Coie, and how they were doing misinformation in the Mueller report. And you have Van Grack, another attorney that was involved in the hit job against Flynn. And we're learning more and more that this is now going to expose Mueller and his report as a complete and total fraud. There's that, but there's also that the fact that these attorneys were paid by Hillary Clinton and the DNC because they worked for Perkins Coie, and they were financed by Dianne Feinstein's hitman Daniel Jones. So they were also financed by the DNC and Hillary Clinton. So this is all starting to happen. Keep in mind, too, that Adam Schiff has a whole bunch of documents and transcripts that he's holding related to Michael Atkinson. Michael Atkinson was the guy that worked in the DOJ with John Carlin, who was exposed by Admiral Rogers. And John Carlin also was working with Mary McCord, and they were working on that, basically the FISA cover-up. And he was then transferred via Dan Coats at DNI to be the next Inspector General IC, Intelligence Community Inspector General. So he's the one that changed the rules for the whistleblower, advance the impeachment narrative. So they're all working hand in glove in all of this stuff.
It's the same group of people.
The same group.
It's just the same group of people. And, you know, this is what I think that the brilliance of Donald Trump is doing here. And I know it's really painful on everybody, but yeah. I don't see how we could not go through all this. I mean, we have to go through this, I think, as a country.
Well, and see, so people are complaining, why does Trump surround himself with, you know, Chris Wray and Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx and Mike Redfield from CDC? Why does he rely on these people? Why doesn't he just fire them and get – he can't. He really can't do it. And not to mention the fact that when he lost his center-right press, the Fox News
– right.
Firing Diamond and Silk and Trish Reagan, and they've just gone off the charts. They just came out with a poll today. I was watching it where – they got Biden winning by 10% right now.
They had a Gallup poll in there, too, saying that everybody, 71% of the people polled by Gallup. This is Martha McCallum yesterday.
just gave a political statement where Joe Biden for 2 minutes sat there and talked.
Right.
And Joe Biden didn't say a damn thing. He stood there like, you know, Radiohead, you know, basically like a box head. And he just stood there, said nothing. It was like Weekend at Bernie's, you know, put him up and prop him up in the car and make him look alive.
Yeah.
So it was like that. And so I'm not worried because Trump could have actually lamb blasted Biden 6 ways till Sunday. But he doesn't want Biden to go down. Already the Tara Reid thing is going to blow up in his face. We know that.
Yeah.
2 witnesses came aboard, and he's got that. We got that contemporaneous witness, not just a colleague, not just a friend, but her mother on Larry King. That's ironclad. He's dead as disco. That's going to kill him right there. If his testimony about the quid pro quo in Ukraine doesn't kill him, if the investigation in Ukraine after the Bidens doesn't kill him, if all these different committee hearings, once we get back to existence, doesn't kill him, this will. So there's so many other things that are in his closet. We're not worried about Joe Biden. But what we're all concerned about is if the Democrats replace him with some other populist unknown that could come out of the box swinging, right?
Sure.
So I think that Trump wants him to make it past the finish line, and then it's just going to be all hands on deck against Biden.
Yeah, I wanted to go back for a second because the Martha McCallum interview yesterday, in which just before the interview they were talking about people having 71% of the people that were polled in the Gallup poll said that they found it necessary to have social distancing and so on, and that they haven't done enough yet to stop the spread of the virus, which is total bogus. I guess a Gallup poll, I can tell you out here in California, is like 90% against the whole tactic. And that's starting to really resonate. I know it's that way throughout the rest of the nation. And I guess what I'm pointing to is that the falling off the cliff by Fox News, which you point out, it's the center right now that he's lost to Fox News. And we could see this coming when they hired Paul Ryan and, of course, other interests that are there at Fox News.
I wanted to wrap that up.
But you have you have some good stuff still going on, but I think it's very, very – I think by the end of – towards the election, you'll start to see them lose Tucker and Hannity.
Well, and then that'll be an opportunity for another organization.
Exactly. Yeah.
Here's the thing. So you know, what has happened is Trump understood that he couldn't win this propaganda war, right? So what he decided to do was go with it, because what happens once Trump loves somebody? What does the press do to that person? Hates them, right? And when Trump hates somebody, what does the press do with that person?
They love him.
Right? It's the exact opposite of Trump. So if Trump pats Fauci on the head and says Redfield's doing a good
job. Look what's happened to him.
Once this starts to blow up in their face, somebody's going to have to be the blame, to take the blame. And they're going to lose a lot of love in the press because they're going to eventually hide underneath Trump's umbrella. And once they do that, they're dead. And I believe that's the way this is going to play out, because there's a lot more that's going to play out. The discovery alone that we're going to learn from China with all the lawsuits is going to be damning. Someone that called into my show said, you know, what happens to facial identity with regard to crime control when we have masks on? The other part is you're going to see this division. Democrats are going to basically be acting like Gestapo police. Just like if you wear a red hat in Portland, you'll get a rock thrown at your face. Well, the same thing's going to happen if you're in Portland and you don't wear a mask. It's going to be the same damn thing. And it's this hatred of Trump supporters and hatred of Trump. Now, they're going to force me by shame or whatever it is, or I'm going to want to walk into a restaurant or a bar, and they're going to say, sir, you can't come in here. You got to wear a mask. How do I drink a beer if I've got a mask on? But in any case, the point is there's going to be establishments that are going to be liberal, have these liberal agendas, and you're going to walk in, and they're going to say, you can't come in without a mask. And it's going to be that kind of environment for a while. It's going to be this political thing that's going to happen in the streets. Just like you'd be hesitant to put a red hat on that says Make America Great Again,
yeah,
because you don't want to get attacked from behind.
Scott, hang on a second. We're going to come back to you. We've got a break coming up in the bottom of the hour break. When we come back, more Scott Adams here on Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, 821r.com, and, of course, newcaliforniastate.com. We'll be right back. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to A21R.com, that's A21R.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's A21R.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Agenda 21 Radio is brought to you by Aram Solar. Yes, if you want to make sure your house is powered and you want solar, go to Aram Solar. But also, because of the recent behavior of California, boy, how appropriate it is we're talking about that right now. Shutting off power to 43 counties is not a fun thing. And by the way, it doesn't need to happen. But if it does happen, you need to be prepared. Get yourself a generator for your house. Aram Solar can do just that. It can provide electrical power at any time for any shortage that pops on. If your power pops off, they will pop on with a generator. All you need to do is give them a call at 866-676-5276. That's 866-676-5276. That's Aram Solar, the best solar you can get, but also the best generation you can get when your house runs out of energy. Don't let yourself be held hostage by the energy companies any longer. That's 866-676-5276, Aram Solar.
So, the former Secretary of State had an unauthorized server, those are your words, in her basement, correct?
Correct.
Who was protecting that information? Who was protecting that server?
Well, not much.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
And welcome back to Agenda 21 Radio. We're with Scott Adams of the Scott Adams Show, and it's like we don't have enough time in the day that we can listen to Scott and everything else that's going on in Red State Talk Radio. Tori is going to be following our show, so you want to listen into what she has to say. She's got a lot of stuff that's going on. Okay, Scott, we're talking about this whole relationship, that the same cast of characters that brought us the Russia hoax, that brought us Stormy Daniels, except Avenatti is, of course, he's out and about right now. Then, you know, had the whole Ukrainian thing and the impeachment thing is now bringing us, you know, part four of this drama, which is the COVID virus scam and so on. And I like the way you said it about Donald Trump. You said, you know, this is the old strategy of keeping your enemies closer. It seems like the more he loves someone, the more the press hates him, and the more he hates someone, the more the press loves him. So he's caught on to that. And so you've got Fauci and you got Burke out there, and you got all those other cast of characters that are all globalists, all related to the World Health Organization by way of Agenda 21 or Agenda, yeah, the Agenda 21 through United Nations. All that's linked together here in this. I think is it going to be the final climactic melodrama of this Trump presidency in the first 4 years, and can we get on to, you know, greener pastures afterwards? What do you think is going to happen here at this point in time?
With Trump? Or?
Yeah, with Trump and with the nation. I mean, it's, you know, what do you think is going to be happening here? It, 1 year from now, what's it going to be like?
Oh, I think all this is going to work out. I definitely think it's going to work out. Like, just this week, you know, we're going to see exoneration that's going to debunk Mueller even further. Like, you and I know how bad Mueller is, right? We know how fake it is. We're not learning this. Like, we're not – the developments that are happening right now, we expected. We just never knew when and how. But we knew because we did our research. You and I, 2 years ago, were talking about Flynn and how he's on the inside and how he – was getting the information. And he is not the man you want to be messing with. And I'm just telling you, you remember that, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Ago. And Chris Street and a whole bunch of other people, I mean, we were all knew this stuff. So it's not a surprise to us. It's going to be a surprise to the mainstream media. And I'm not saying it's – because I believe the mainstream media really knows the truth too.
Sure they do.
They're hiding it. And what's going to happen is eventually they're not going to be able to hide it anymore. Just like I said, these declassifications. Well, Tom, there's no reason why Schiff has a right to sit on declassified documents that are going to reveal what Michael Atkinson said and so on and so forth. But there's going to be a bigger fish to fry, too. And so there's going to be not just a political win in our country. But with these lawsuits, we're going to learn more and more about the ties of some of our politicians, maybe even Dianne Feinstein, in China. Now, you know, I believe a lot of what Tom Cotton said. And Tom Cotton said, not a wet market, not bat soup. It probably came out of the university, like the laboratory. Was it an accident or was it malicious? Was it intentional? And the idea is, regardless of whatever that answer is, China's behavior was designed for malicious intent, their reaction to it. Because a couple of things happened. The WHO told China to not to ban domestic flights within China from Wuhan to any other city. But they said you could actually fly out of Wuhan to any international city. What is that about? Okay, so that to me says that they were intentionally wanting to spread this. And there's a lot of reasons to motivate China to this theory that I'm about to share with you. And that is, China, there's a clause in phase one that said, if there was a pandemic, if there was a worldwide catastrophe, they wouldn't be obligated to spend the $250 billion on American products. And they agreed to spend the $250 billion on American products. Suffice it, if you drop the tariffs and sanctions. So we dropped the tariffs and the sanctions. That was good for who? That was good for China, right?
Right.
Now, they spend $250 billion, but they don't have to now. So they could pull out of the $250 billion requirement, and they benefited from the removal of tariffs and sanctions. So China won. Plus, China was the first to have this virus because it was originated in their lab. They knew about it earlier than October. They knew about it a long time ago. And so they had an advantage of knowing what this virus was about. If you recall, President Trump said, you know, we're not happy with China because they had the information. And when we wanted a sample of the virus, they didn't give it to us. I don't know if you remember that, but Trump said that.
Right.
Okay. So they were trying to build an antibody. They were trying to build a medicine to treat it. But they were looking, the labs were looking for samples. They wouldn't give us the samples. They waited on that. The WHO gave us disinformation, not misinformation, disinformation, because they had scientists saying one thing and they had Tedros saying another, because Tedros was getting paid off by China. So what happens next? They get out of phase one. They push the can down the road for phase two. They no longer have to negotiate with Trump on that. They're hoping that Biden wins, right? Because they own Biden and Hunter and his wife, Jill.
Well, you know, let's back up here a little bit about the ownership, which is absolutely correct. You know, it was China that gave them $1.5 billion. And, you know, we're still checking out on the flight manifest of Air Force One, which is what, you know, Trump flies around on, but it was Air Force Two with Biden on board, was it when they landed in Wuhan, China, during the Obama administration. And they walked away with $1.5 billion. You know, the question is, what did they deliver to Wuhan, China? It's a big question. But why is it worth $1.5 billion, you know? That's another question. But, you know, then there's another deeper question, and that is, what's happened to all the crewmen on Air Force One that are died off, suddenly committing suicide, 8 of them, and one I know personally? What's up with that? Gee, I wonder what they're hiding. Shocking. Wow.
You know what I didn't know about that one? I didn't know about the dying off of
the crewman, right, from Air Force One. This before Donald Trump's time, right after they all retired and resigned or whatever after Obama, and then they all started picking them off. I mean, by suicide. Quote, suicide.
So a lot of the motivating factors can't be denied for China. It's not just the phase one. It's not just the phase two. It's not just another bite at the apple negotiating with a guy they own, right? It's more than that, Paul. It also is the case where while they were negotiating phase one, what was Trump doing to China? Pounding them with tariffs. Their economy was conflating. What else was happening? People were moving in order to avoid the tariffs. They were fleeing China, okay? Manufacturers were fleeing China, going to Vietnam, going to the United States,
right,
and elsewhere. So they were fleeing China. And China said, we got to halt this. We got to stop this fleeing of these manufacturing pipelines. Our supply chains are getting crushed. Our unemployment is through the roof. Our economy is conflating by a large margin. Our stock market is tanking, the Shanghai Index. Anyway, all of that was happening. And they said, we got to sign the phase one. They signed it. And then this thing happens. So they don't have to honor it. Now, they're the first ones that are going to be able to come out of this. And they're going to own the supply chains because the world is going to depend on China while all the other countries in the world are still shut down. So this was a calculated effect that China kept all their supply chains, and they were the benefactors of their own crime. So now we are at a point where they're not only ahead of us and ahead of the world on their way out of this, but they benefited from saving their supply chains. They figured this too. They figured if we're going to conflate, we're not going to conflate alone, because we don't want to lose our number two status either. We don't want the world to surpass us. So if we, for example, treated this accident, say it was an accident, and they were dealing with this coronavirus, and it was an accident. It wasn't maliciously sent out, but it was an accidentally leaked. Then they would be dealing with having to shut down all their manufacturing plants, just like they had to do and just like the world had to do. And that would have affected their supply chain. So then what would have happened is they would have conflated at a dramatic rate of 20% while the world was increasing by 20%. And that would have then put them way behind the world. So they decided, well, if we're going to conflate and we're going to get crushed, we're not going to lose our supply chains to other countries. We're going to shut them down too.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But this leak, and now you've basically, you know, finished the NASCAR race under caution. Wherever you were at the time of the crash, put the caution flag up, and that's how you're going to finish.
Yeah. Well, I don't think, I think that what you see in terms of the supply chains and so on, it's certainly hurting us. It's going to hurt us badly for years to come, actually, to recover from all this stuff. But the world itself is, if they've gone down the China syndrome, if you will, I don't see them getting up off of their knees for a longer time. I really don't. I think it's going to hurt them a lot more. They certainly got the oil situation going on. The markets have crashed. I tell people to go out and buy, you know, buy gas and drive around as much as possible, because bring those oil prices back up. We need to have that for our own country. But I think that the nations like the Ethiopias of the world that have gone down this road with China and even the EU are going to suffer irreparable harm for years to come, given what we have the capability of doing here in this country.
Right. That's exactly right. And but, you know, here's the thing. So Germany is the first to sue China. There's going to be several citizens right. that are going to sue China. And what's going to happen is Trump knows. Just like, you know, you go back to the Iraq war. You go back to post 9/11. Yeah, everybody knew Saudi Arabia did it. But what are we going to do? You know, create the most expensive war in history by impacting, you know, the world's oil supplies? So we weren't going to get into it like that. We had to think of an alternative solution for our response. And the same thing is true with this. Trump is not picking a fight. He was asked in the press conference yesterday, and he said, what are you going to do? Are you going to sue China as well? He said, I'm not happy with China. But we have other ways we can go about doing things. And I guarantee you what's going to happen, Paul. Now, he can't come out because, see, the economy is trying to get back on its feet. If Trump said yesterday, well, we could sanction the hell out of them, that would tank the economy again, wouldn't it? The stock market that's trying to get back up over 24,000, 25,000 would collapse again, because you'd say, wow, that's a big part of the world economy. You're collapsing it. So Trump's not going to say things that are, you know, just so radical. But I guarantee you what's going to happen is Trump's going to say there's violations, this deal's scrapped, we're going to tariff the hell out of you, and we're going to even maybe possibly sanction you so that our companies aren't even allowed to deal with you. And that's going to make it so we have to force people, maybe in different sectors too, where we're going to have to force pharmaceuticals to do business here, do our research here, make us independent here, and you know, continue with a lot of other things. I think we're probably not going to do sanctions with agriculture and other things like that. And we're going to use our stick, not the carrot, but the stick, to strong arm them to buy our agriculture and stick it to them in other markets like pharmacy. And we're going to probably kick out a lot of their students as well. Their 300,000 yeah. students, kick them out as well. The point is that China's going to pay through the nose on this one. And it's going to be – this is a war. And when Trump said we're at war, this is a war.
Yep. He meant it.
He's kidding.
He meant it. Let me ask you this about the New York situation with Mr. Cuomo. He's been kind of targeted. New York's been targeted as being a state that's in financial distress, as well as Illinois and California and Oregon, just to mention four of them. Connecticut is another one. But this whole play by Cuomo for more financial assistance is just exactly the play that what's going on here with Gavin Newsom. But you got a situation where you have literally a lot of people that have died in New York versus California, which has a much higher population. The incidence of death is very low, and it doesn't look like it's going to go any higher. We've been getting these whole things out here in California that doctors are being forced to say that on the death certificates it was COVID-19 that killed these people. And of course many doctors say, no, that's not the case, and a lot of doctors are pushing back. What happened in New York I thought was pretty interesting, in that de Blasio came up and said that about 4,000 New Yorkers could be considered to have died over the months. And so is there any pushback going on the East Coast against these false data?
Yeah. Well, people are investigating this. Of course, the mainstream media doesn't investigate anything.
Right, right. But
there's a lot of information that's been put out there, different studies. I have a listener that put out some really interesting information related to the different numbers from the Republican states and the Democrat states. Like, for example, I have this data set from April 20th, government-run state governors, right? Democrat states, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, PA, California, Michigan, Illinois, Louisiana, Connecticut, Maryland. All Democrat states, 104 million people, 570,000 cases, 35,000 deaths. Now you got Republican states, Texas, Florida, Ohio, Arizona, Tennessee, Indiana, Missouri, South Carolina, Alabama, and Oklahoma. 103 million, 1 million less. 1 million less. Cases, 97,000, deaths, 2,500. So you got 570,000 cases to 97,000 cases with a similar population, almost identical population. Then you got 35,000 deaths versus 2,500 deaths. That's just not feasible. Okay. Now you could take also a French ship. So you say, well, New York is, you know, a different kind of set of worms. You know, it's everybody's like sardines there. Okay. How about a ship? French ship. 1,000 military people get sick from the virus. 8 get hospitalized. 0 die. Now, I think the number has shifted a little bit over time. But that was the number I had back around a few days ago. And let me tell you something. You compare that with New York, and not to mention the fact that he was calling on 40,000 ventilators. He only needed 5,000. They were calling on 140,000 beds. They only needed 18,000 beds. I got a report that says that Jacob Javits Center, which has 2,900 beds, is working on their 84th case. Okay, that's a huge building. I've been in it several times. That's where the glass ceiling did not break, right, for Hillary Clinton. But that's 84 right. people total versus 2,900 beds. And you got the U.S. naval ship Comfort leaving town after serving 124 people. They had 1,000 beds. So they left being underutilized. And so when people are talking about these empty hospitals, which are empty, hospitals are laying off medical people, employees, because they have not enough patients. And not only that, but there's another data set that says that the number of people dying of accidents, homicides, cancer, diabetes, heart attack, aneurysms, you name it, right?
Right.
Gunshot. That number has dropped by a third. It's a third of what it was.
I know.
Now you got everything else. Everything is now COVID. You're dying of COVID if you shoot yourself in the head.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it's just the reach of that. I tell the story. I've told this before. A friend of mine passed away recently. And there was a big brawl, basically, about they were going to say it was a COVID-related thing, and it wasn't at all. The people were going, no, you can't do that. And they put up a big – finally, the doctor went along with it. Can you imagine that? You know, you're a doctor, and you're trying to you know what caused the death, but, you know, you're being pressured by your peers, which is what happened when Kern County, you know, the two doctors there, Erickson and his partner – who run that that medical facility right down there? They came out and produced that videotape, and they said that they admitted that this is what's happening to their doctor friends. By the way, as you know, I'm sure that YouTube took the video down of that of those two doctors. Did you know that?
Not know they took it down.
They took it down in the middle of Laura Ingraham's show last night.
Wow!
They took it down. Facebook did. Of course, you know. This is why I say you got people like Laura Ingraham now, I think Hannity, and of course Tucker, you're going to start to see them disappear from Fox News because, you know, they really came out. They're strong for Trump, and you've got the other ones that are pretty weak-kneed in the afternoons now with Martha McCallum. Obviously, she's I don't know how competent she is at all, actually. But anyway, she's definitely swinging towards the other side, and you can start to see these people in Fox, you know, kind of getting on the mushy side of things about whether or not they're going to support Trump or not. And it's clear that they're being pressured for their jobs, unfortunately. But that said, the diamonds in silk thing is just more evidence of what direction they're going to go in.
Well, in addition to that, you know this Twitter guy named Education for Libs?
Yeah, yeah.
He got shut down.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And he was talking about he was talking about vaccines and different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then also, in addition, you have Sidney Powell, General Flynn's attorney. She has been completely banned. If you do a ban check on Sidney Powell 1, that's her Twitter feed, it's banned in every way you can imagine. Every checkbox is banned, ban, ban, ban. So when she posts something, nobody sees it. You know, it's unbelievable what the you know what's happening in our country. It's just incredibly, it's so in your face, you know, and it's no wonder, you know, like I asked this question. I actually woke up almost in a nightmare, and I was like, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House. I mean, how did that happen? You know, this is a woman that can't even hold her teeth in while she's talking. I mean, this is such a crazy woman, right? She lies right to your face. She says that somehow she wasn't doing the thing in China that she was doing. You know, I don't know how they can actually, with a straight face, do the things that they do. And the Democrat Party, you know, where Ocasio-Cortez is calling for a boycott for going back to work. Do you understand
that?
It's like the craziest things you could ever imagine are happening. And you say, well, they're crazy. They're nuts, right? You know, Joe Biden can't string sentences together. He's just a mess. He's raping women and getting away with it. And Maisie Hirano is saying, believe all women. Me too. But then they're the ambassadors of Harvey Weinstein and Creepy Joe. And yet at the same time, you look at them and you say, they're laughable, right? They're just completely laughable. But then on the same token, they're like, wow, they control the entire Congress. That the leader of their party is third in line to the presidency right now. How in the world does that happen? How in the world is it that USA Today comes out with a poll today that says Joe Biden is 10 points ahead of...
Yeah, it's all manipulated, and you know, we know that, and it's not going to get any better for a while until things start to turn around economically and people get back to work. And I think that we definitely are going to see a resurgence in the stock market coming up. But you know, we have some real supply chain problems, and we have some real food shortage potentials out there in the next couple of weeks and the next week and a half. Actually, it's sort of a countdown. My trucker buddies who are driving around and listening to the show right now, about as a matter of fact, you know, tell me that the trucking industry, at least in the Western United States, is down on traffic about 75% at this point in time. In another week and a half, that food is, all the products being shipped are going to start to trickle down to nothing. Contracts are drying up all over the place. Truckers are being laid off. And of course, they say that the whole shutdown is going to be in about a week and a half. That's huge. If we have nothing to ship, that's the key thing. We have nothing to ship to the stores and so on after the next week and a half.
It's a scary time, and again, it would be laughable if it wasn't so serious, and if the Democrat Party wasn't so corrupt and so powerful with their corruption, because they don't have, there's no police to police them, there's no journalists to question them, you know what I mean? Well, and they're just away with murder right in front of our eyes.
Well, that's just, you know, the whole, when criminals can hide in plain sight, you know you're in trouble, and no one questions them, you know you're in trouble. And, of course, we have to question and challenge at every turn now. And, again, I think this is, in my opinion, people are rising up, and we have to continue the pressure on them with our own protests and our own defiance at this point in time, because we're talking about our constitutional rights at the very essence of this that's being threatened. And if we don't stop them right now, it's going to be tough going. Scott, tell us how we can hear your show and everything.
All right, and I just say, and Republicans aren't the best protesters. That's the
not
problem.
At all. No.
AdamShow.com, RedStateTalkRadio.com. Please check me out.
Awesome, Scott. Thanks a lot, and say hi to Leonora.
I will.
Okay,
thank you,
man. Thanks. Okay, guys, we're just about done here for this hour, and the third hour, actually, 3 hours of Agenda 21 Radio. You can get the podcast. It'll be up this afternoon. And also, remember to visit our website, newcaliforniastate.com. A lot of things going on there. We're rereading the grievances. I didn't get to that today, but we'll read it tomorrow. It's going to be interesting. We have a press conference tomorrow. See how that all goes for New California. Anyway, thanks for listening, and stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.